The best of both conventional and alternative medicine. It's the Dr. Holly Lucille Show. Here's Dr. Holly.
Hey, folks, thanks so much for coming back and listening. Listen, this segment I'm really excited about. We're going to be talking, we have an expert here, about the difference between grass-fed and feedlot beef. And I think it's really important. Now, you know, I'm introduced as the best of conventional and Western medicine. And one of the reasons is because I started out in Western conventional nursing school. I got my bachelor's degree, and I still was like, oh, my gosh, this is, I feel like I'm doomed. I can't believe I invested all this money and I hate what I'm doing. It's not that I hated nursing. I wanted to think about things in a different way. So I eventually became a naturopathic doctor through a long story, which I'm sure if you piece together these segments, you can figure that out. But I wanted more comprehensive ways of thinking about things. And so that's the reason I have another naturopathic doctor, Dr. Jennifer. It's Ito, correct?
Correct, Dr. Ito.
Yeah, all right, with me. We're going to be talking about this. And Jennifer, one of the things that I'm really excited for you to be here and talking about grass-fed beef and the difference from just what we're used to, perhaps if you go to a larger supermarket or what have you, is that one of the things that I try to do on the show, Mindful Medicine, is help people really make sense of things. So I know that this is the information age, but I want to be in the business of facilitating understanding, right? So grass-fed, natural, organic, farm to fork, there's a lot of really savvy, I have to admit, marketing going on out there. Because I think that these manufacturing folks are understanding that consumers are starting to want better, they're starting to want more quality, they're starting to want to be healthier, and they're catching on to this. So I really want you, and I think you're going to help people understand, what are they getting? Like, is it, oh, because I have a friend like, oh, organic, that's ridiculous. That just means that you can raise the price, right? Grass-fed, oh, that's stupid. That just means that you can raise the price.
Sure.
Tell me, what do you think?
I think grass-fed beef and feedlot beef are they're just two completely different foods. I'm a little
offended
can even have the same name.
Exactly. All right. I love it. Okay. I love it. All right. So let's just
should we break it down?
Break it down. What does it mean to have grass-fed or feedlot beef? What is the difference?
Okay. Well, there's a whole spectrum there, but let's just start on the feedlot end. And so what that means is that, you know, an animal started out maybe eating grass and they get kind of broken to being in a pen. And then they're taken, you know, en masse to this giant facility where they stand around shoulder to shoulder in crowded conditions, like in their own poop, breathing poop dust and the toxic waste of what they call manure lagoons. I didn't make that up. That's a real thing. And it's putting out hydrogen sulfide. Like, people in neighboring towns get sick from this, and they're right next to it.
Right.
And but the big thing, feedlot, so what are they being fed? And this is the big thing that kind of creates a lot of the differences in the actual food that you're getting and feeding to your family. So the feed is about 60% corn, or rather kind of sort of a corn flake. They sort of steam it and smush it. And then they mix it in with various kind of processed proteins and roughage. And, you know, they can have, I think, up to 5 pounds a day per cow of stale gummy bears. Again,
oh
not made up. Just get those calories in. They want to make them as fat and marbled as quickly and cheaply as possible. And also, we just have to have a way to sort of deal with this giant pile of excess corn that we have in our country. So we're just feeding it to the cows. And chicken, there's another sort of thing they're giving them. And so, you know, it's an unhappy life, and it's a life that, you know, they're living in like a medieval city, just sort of are surrounded by sewage, which sets them up for a lot of disease. And because of that, they have to be treated with mass amounts, 50-pound bags of antibiotics. And because corn is not what cows are meant to eat, they're meant to eat grass and other kinds of, what's the word for food you go and find? Anyway, but not corn. And because corn makes their stomach more acidic, and they're supposed to have a more basic alkaline stomach, and then that sets them up for all kinds of diseases, so they need medicine for that.
Food that they can hunt and gather, or just like feed on, like
forage. That's
forage.
What I'm looking for. Forage.
Exactly.
And so, you know, they get this whole new collection of diseases, pneumonia, called feedlot diseases, feedlot polio. You know, they're so that's on one end. And then on the other end, we have grass-fed beef. And that is, you know, like you said, there's some confusing things out there in the marketing. Like you might say natural. And what natural means is that after the animal is slaughtered, they haven't dyed it or add colors or preservatives or things to the beef. It doesn't mean anything about the lifestyle of the cow. And then grass-fed has a bit of a spectrum, too. You can be a cow that lives, like, inside a barn and is fed stored grass and be called grass-fed, and you can be a cow that goes out there and is in a pasture and is wandering around, like you said, exercise, fresh air, sunshine, and eating fresh grass. And that, probably unsurprisingly, if you think it through, is going to make for the healthiest meat. And we kind of can, we can establish this pretty solidly with when you actually look at the contents of that meat, you know, the health benefits from eating grass-fed, pasture-raised cows that have their whole lifespan like this. They have like quadruple the amount of vitamin E. And this is even true if you add extra super-duper amounts of vitamin E to the feed and feedlot cows, you still get a huge, much bigger lot of vitamin E in the grass-fed cows. The beta-carotenes, so, which is your vitamin A family. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, so much more. So let's look at it this way. So you and I know as naturopathic doctors, first do no harm. So why are we going to put something inside our bodies if we choose to eat animal proteins like like beef that is going to do harm? Because feedlot, it definitely feels like whatever those cows are experiencing, not only from a substance perspective and what that meat is made of, from an energetic, I would say psychic, you know, perspective as well. Sure. First, do no harm. We wouldn't want to put that in our bodies, or because that grass fed, you're getting more vitamin A, vitamin E, potassium, iron, zinc, phosphorus, sodium, lower fat levels, which is really important. Higher because of the grass, the plants, and omega-3s that are anti-inflammatory.
Absolutely.
So let's get down for our listeners to the cost, because this is the number one thing in the fantasy that people stop eating well is because they think it's easier to eat poorly. Or, excuse me, less expensive to eat poorly. That's what I meant.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of ways you can reframe the cost. And, you know, one way is, you know, you might be looking at the pound of the overall beef, but if you start looking at the cost per beta-carotene or cost per vitamin E, cost per vitamin omega-3s, or it starts to get a little more competitive. And you have to, you know, open up your eyes and be aware of the fact that part of the reason that the feedlot beef is less expensive, you know, is because that corn is being subsidized for the government, you know, for whatever assorted political reasons. And you're not maybe taking into consideration, you know, the cost of, you know, our taxes funding that, and our taxes, you know, arranged with the fossil fuels that have to make that corn and transport those animals, and then, you know, the cost of what that does to your health. And, you know, you've got added risk. If you're eating animals that, you know, were sick and unhappy, it just promotes more disease in your own life, and there's a whole lot of cost there. And I think, like you said, if you know a little bit about this, that these animals led very different lives, and, you know, you just try to close your eyes and pretend and not to think about it, it's not good for you. You feel bad on some level. It, you know, makes you sad.
Well, and that's part of the, you know, everybody says ignorance is bliss, and it's part of the, I think, danger of this show like mine, perhaps, where we're just trying to poke at people, provoke people to actually wake up a little bit. And then, I mean, I know it's happened to me. I certainly am not a ball of light floating through the air and being all enlightened in every single way where I'm not touching the ground anymore. And there are times when I learn things and I just, because I have that newfound consciousness, I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And I could do it before because I just wasn't thinking about it. So, all right, we have 60 seconds here. And
I would like to tell one more quick benefit of the grass-fed.
Go.
Okay, so we've got a whole lot more of what's called conjugated linoleic acid, CLA. And you cannot buy this in a pill. They have tried to buy it in a pill, and they find that people actually have health detriment from trying to take a pill version of this. But you can get it in droves, not only from grass-fed beef, but also the cheese and the butter that comes from the pasture-raised cows, about five times higher without any of the bad linoleic acids and the other toxins. So that's another thing to think about you're getting.
That's right. So if you're taking CLA out there, there's huge marketing push for CLA. Think about grass-fed beef. Awesome, Blossom. Thank you so much. And we can find you where? Give me the best website.
Sure. Well, RaleighNaturopathic.com, at Jennifer Ito ND on Twitter, and RaleighNaturopathic.com on Facebook.
All right, I got to go. Jennifer, thank you so much. Thanks so much, folks.